We are continuing our Shiurim on Inyanei Erchin, and we're talking about a topic tonight that is very important and comes up really throughout a bunch of places in Maseches Erchin. It comes up in Sugyas that hopefully we will relate to tonight, Sugyas on Daf Beis, Dalet, Vav, Zayin, and Yud Ches. So hopefully it's an important topic throughout Maseches Erchin. And it's one that, especially in light of what we know about Erchin itself, is going to be very, very important. We spoke about Erechin the last 2 weeks, and we spoke about how the way that Erechin works is I can commit to pay the Erech of myself or the Erech of another person, and then there's some sort of like fixed amount that I'm going to have to pay as a result. That's what the Torah tells us in Parshas Bichlokosai. There's going to be some sort of set amount that you're going to have to pay. When I commit Erech, what that amount is going to be, it's going to be dependent on age, it's going to be dependent on gender, but there'll be some objective value. We pointed out in the past, and this is what we're going to speak about tonight, that Rashi already tells us in the Mishnah in Erechin on Daf Beis already, is there something that looks like Erechin, but it's not really Erechin, and that's called like Nidre Damit. That's when I say I'm going to pay the value of you. I didn't use the word Erech, but I'm going to pay how much you're worth. I'm going to pay how much I'm worth, how much you're worth, or things like that. I'm going to pay your Damit. I take a regular net. I don't invoke this category of Erech. I just decide I'm going to pay. If I say, Neder, may Allah. If I say I'm going to pay and take a neder, I'm going to pay my value, so then I have to pay damim. What's the primary difference between damim and erechin? So erechin has the fixed amount, and damim doesn't have a fixed amount. Rashi tells us already in erechin on Beis Med Aleph, it's a Gemara Maseches Megillah, I believe, on Daf Chav Gimel, the definition of how much do we pay? How do I assess what your value is? It's not based on your gender or your age. How do I know what it is based on? So the Gemara tells us whatever you would sell as a slave. If you were an Eved HaNimkar Bashuk, so how much would you sell for it? This week Parsha Tahar. A person can sell themselves to slavery. So how much would you, or maybe Parsha Tahar will say, how much you would sell for? I'll just point out fairly briefly, because I think it's important. When we talk about how much you would sell for as a slave, do we how much you would sell for if you were a Jewish slave, if you were an Eved Ivri, how much you would sell for? Or how much you would sell for if you were an Eved Kanani. There are two different kinds of slaves, even though you got to Eved Ivri, but for our purposes, there's an Eved Ivri, which is a Jewish slave. That person's a slave for 6 years or until Yovel hits. That person, the Torah teaches us in Parshas Tahar, you can't give him certain kinds of avdus to do. It has to be avdus with a certain purpose. He gets freed, etc. Then there's an Eved Kanani, also in this week's Parsha. Eved Kanani, la'olam bahem ta'avodu. An Eved Kanani, you're really never supposed to really free. So when we say we're going to sell you, or you're dumb and my value is going to be like an Eved that's sold in the Shuk, so what kind of, like, is if I were an Eved Ivri or is if I were an Eved Kanani? That's a Machlokas Harishonim. Tovos and Maseches Megillah implies you're going to be sold like an Eved Kanani, like an Eved Ivri, sorry. The Marsha points out there in Maseches Megillah that no, it's like you're sold like an Eved Kanani, that I believe is also the opinion of Rabbeinu Chananel in Maseches Sanhedrin. So Rabbeinu Chananel in Sanhedrin and the Marsha in Megillah, they assume you're going to be sold like an Eved Kanani. Tovus in Megillah says you'll be sold like the value of an Eved Ivri. Okay, there is a ktsos that's a little bit well known. It's a brisket rav in the beginning of Erechin. We find similar halachas in the 8th parak of Maseches Baba Kama. If someone wounds you, if someone damages you, and want to figure out like how much did they damage you, so the Gemara says, well, one of the things we're going to figure out is how much did it decrease your value if you would be sold as an Eved? How much did my wounding you, how much did it decrease your value? There also we have a machlokas, the Ketos points out, between Rashi and the Rush. Rashi says for that purpose it'll be like an Eved Ivri. The Rush is like an Eved Kanani. The Ketos thinks this is all sort of one larger machlokas. When you have halachas where we want to assess a person's value based on how much they would be sold in the Shuk, so some Rishonim say it goes after Eved Ivri. Some Rishonim think it goes based on Eved Kanani. The Griz says, well, maybe you can mechal b'kin sugyas. In the end, he thinks it's really not the case. But that's one thing about damim. The primary difference between damim and erechin is how much you have to pay. What we're going to try to figure out tonight, and in a certain sense, it's a hard question to think about, so we're going to set up in one particular way, is what's the relationship really between damim and erechin? I want to frame the question a little bit based on some basic halachos, and then I want to sort of talk about the challenge in asking the question and how we're going to do it. In general, there are certain halachas, certain contexts, where damim and erechin seem to have the same halachas, pointing to the fact that maybe they're really very, very similar with maybe some nuanced differences, but they also appear to have some significant differences. So to what extent are Dhammim and Erechin really similar, or are they different? We haven't yet defined any terms, but we're at least raising the question. And I'll give you a couple examples. There are some halachas where Dhammim and Erechin really share the same, really have the same halachas. Number one, as the Rambam points out in Hilchos Erechin and Perek Aleph, it's based on a Gemara in Meseches Erechin, the money goes to the same location. Whether I'm paying someone's Erech or I'm paying someone's Dhammim, the money's going towards Bedek Habayis. Bedek Habayis is the regular upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. It's not going for karbanos, but for money that's used for the upkeep of the Mikdash. So the money's going to the same place. One similarity. Another similarity, the Rambam tells us, that there's a din of she'ela in both of them. The din of she'ela, if I take a neder as an example, then I regret that neder. So I'm allowed to engage in she'ela. I can regret, I can undo my neder in certain ways, and therefore it's not going to be binding. That is also true. The Rambam at least thinks, spoke last week about how true it is for all people in regards to Erech, but the Rambam thinks that's true for Erech, and it's true for Dhammim, the Rambam says. That both of them are able to, are really very, very similar. That's in the fact that the Gemara's in, the Gemara even, I'll point it this way, has a Hava Amina on Daf Beis in Meseches Erechin and on Daf Dal in Meseches Erechin, that only those people, goes in two directions to Hava Amina. Maybe only those who have an Erech could have Dhammim. So an androgynous that has no Erech, because Erech is determined based on gender, and the Gemara Darshans, you have to be either a Zachar Vadai or a Nekeva Vadai, but an androgynous doesn't have a clear gender, so he has no Erech. The Gemara is a Havamina. If you, we have a Hekesh, maybe. If I have no Erech, maybe there's also no Din of Dhammim. So if I commit to pay the Dhammim, the value of an androgynous, maybe I'm not going to have to pay because they're linked. No Erech, no Dhammim. And maybe the opposite is true also, the Gemara is a Havamina. Some people have no Dhammim. Certain kinds of people, a muchashchin, certain people are just, have certain, what's the right way of disabilities in a certain, but not regular disabilities, and deform, certain extreme cases where a person maybe wouldn't be purchased as an eved on the shuk. Maybe they don't have dhammim. So the Gemara is a havamina, maybe if I don't have dhammim, I also don't have erech. That Gemara also is on daf beis and on daf dalet. So on the one hand, we see some evidence that Erechin and Dhammim are really very, very similar. The money goes to the same place. They're both like the Darim with She'ela. And the Gemara has Hava Aminas that maybe whatever one applies, the other should apply also. On the other hand, they also have differences. Some of these differences are important halachas that come up even in Chumash. And some of these we have to, it's good to be in parts of the Kosai, and they're good to be familiar with. Number one difference, the din of Hesed Yad. Hesed Yad is a... it's an important halacha to know. If I commit to give erechin, and then, but I don't have enough money, I can't afford your value, I don't have to pay the full value, the halacha is, I can pay a lower amount. How much is that lower amount? So that's a sugya in the beginning of the second parak of Maseches Erechin on Daf Zayin on the base. Maybe a sela is the minimum amount. But if I, for erechin, if it didn't call Hesed Yad, which you can't really afford it in certain ways, you're not going to be responsible to pay it off. That's not true with Dhammim. With Dhammim, it doesn't matter how poor you are, you have a chiyuv upon yourself to pay it off. If I don't have money, so obviously I may not be able to pay it off, but eventually I'm going to have to pay it off. The din of Dhammim is going to be a din, which is going to be binding. There's no chiddush called Hesed Yad, which if a person can't afford that money, then automatically the price is going to be dropped, and they're going to... and they're going to be where they are. Okay. Another difference is the fact that at the end of the day, the Gemara points out l'maskana, you can have erechin and no dhammim, and you could have a person who has dhammim but no erechin. The Gemara have me the dinim are tali on each other, but at the end of the day, they're really not tali on each other. So we got to try to figure out a little bit how similar or different they are, and we'll mention a couple other differences maybe along the way. But let's start like this. So the question is going to be, how similar is Dhammim to Erechin? Now, this is a yisod, it's important though, in general in learning. Sugyas like this are very hard because we don't really know what Erechin is. We have three mahalchim in Erechin. So if I talk about, is Damim similar to Erechin? So what version of Erechin are we talking about? If Erechin is a regular neder, so we're asking, is Damim also like a regular neder? If Erechin's an idea of like a Torah-imposed obligation, so we're asking about, is Erechin a Torah-imposed obligation? If Erechin's about Kedusha, so we're asking also here. So it's sometimes this happens sometimes in sugyas where two concepts are compared, and it becomes very hard because Rishonim and Achronim are comparing them, but I don't even know what either one of them really is, how I compare them. A good example of a sugya like that, when you learn the 8th parak of Masechta Sanhedrin, the sugyas of Rodef and Baba Machteras. Those are, if you're familiar with those sugyas, they're similar sugyas, and Rishonim talk about are they similar or different, but I don't really know what Rodef is or Baba Machteras is. So comparing them is just something which is a little bit tricky sometimes. I want to present it in many ways the way the Brisker Rav presents it. The Brisker Rav and Rav David Salvation, Yerman Erechin, Brisker Rav has a couple pieces about this, and we're going to just frame the question and see what they do, and really appear to note what appears to be an important machlokas harishonim, and that's the following. The Brisker Rav understands that Erechin is really a chiddush haTorah. Erechin is not just a regular neder, like I can say I'm going to give Bedek HaBayis $30, but when I say I'm going to give your erech, that's a Torah gezeiros hakasav kind of an idea. It's more along the lines of what the Chaznish or the Rashba kind of an idea. We don't have to go to the point of Kedusha yet, but it's a Torah, it's a Chiddush HaTorah, there's something called Erechin. It's not like a regular neder. What is Damim? When I say I'm going to pay your value, so what is Damim? The more standard pshat, the shita that seems to be the sheet of the Baliat Tosfos, Damim is essentially a form of neder. It's a regular form of just normal commitment. I can say I'm going to pay $30. If I say I'm going to pay your Damim, it's really the equivalent of just saying, I'm going to pay a neder of whatever you're worth. But it's really just a practical way of getting an amount of money. Instead of saying $30, I'm saying your value on the slave market. But that's all it really is. It's really just a regular neder. And in that sense, as the Brisker Rav, it's different than Erechin. That is the Shita Lichora of Tosfos. Lefi Tosfos, you're going to have a very easy time explaining differences between Damim and Erechin. They work in very, very different ways. However, the Brisker Rav suggests that according to the Rambam, Erechin and Damim are really very, very different. There's a fundamental difference if I commit to say I'm going to pay your Erech, and if instead I say I'm going to pay Damim. Erech, I misspoke, I already said it, I'm sorry. That Erech and Damim are really much more similar. Erech is a Torah-imposed obligation, and says the Brisker Rav, so is Damim. Damim is not like a regular neder, where just instead of saying an actual number, I say the number you'd be sold in the shuk. It's a Chiddush HaTorah. It's a Torah idea that plays by its own unique kinds of rules. I want to make a Ha'ara to be able to appreciate this well. There are those who suggest, this is going to be an important Derech Halim in Ha'ara. It's a very Brisker kind of an idea. Briskers don't always feel the need to explain, like, what's the nature of this new obligation? Why would there be this new obligation? What the Brisker Rav is just pointing out is that it's not a regular neder, it's a Chiddush HaTorah. The nature of that Chiddush HaTorah, lav dafka, or why this may be the case, we're not necessarily going to be able to explain. What the Brisker Rav wants to be able to do is just to note the fact that Damim seems to be a unique kind of Torah obligation, and it's not a regular neder. It's different than a regular neder. In many ways, it is much more analogous to Erechin. For the Brisker Rav, he's really probably going to love some of these havaminas, that whoever has Erechin has Damim, whoever has Damim has Erechin, because they're both Torah-imposed chidushim, and therefore I would think in many ways that they are really considered to be very, very similar. What's going to happen is as follows. According to Tosfos, who thinks that Erechin and Damim are really very, very different, again, next week hopefully we'll speak about like Yovel and some other kinds of topics that will be newer. I hope this is okay, that this is like a little bit nitty-gritty, but in very important topics about Erechin. According to Tosfos, differences between Damim and Erechin are awesome. Because Erechin's a Chiddush HaTorah. The Torah makes me have to pay. Damim is, I was Mechayev myself. I committed to pay a certain amount. For the Rambam, this is what Brisker Rav points out, any differences between Erechin and Damim, or any Rishonim that agree with this, are always going to have to be explained as exceptions. Really, they're very similar. They're both Torah-imposed obligations, just there are some minor distinctions. I want to speak about three different halachas where you find differences and how they relate to them. So the first is as follows. The Gemara in Meseches Erechin and Daf Yuches tells us the following. I make a commitment on January to pay someone's Erech. I make a commitment in January to pay someone's damim, or to pay my damim, pay my value. I don't pay it off until 1 year later. Am I obligated to pay based on the person's value when I originally made my commitment? Or am I obligated to pay based on the time that I eventually come and pay it off? When exactly, what is the time by which we determine when I have to pay? So the Gemara tells us in Meseches Erechin and Daf Yuches that there's a difference between Erechin and Damim. The difference is as follows. Damim you pay based on Shas Nesina. Damim is determined based on the time that I'm coming to actually pay. So even if, as an example, you used to be worth a lot more money as an Eved in the Shuk, and now your value has decreased a lot. You know why? Because you're a year older. And maybe, I don't know, for some of you, like, when I was a senior in high school, I was, like, exercising all the time, and now I haven't exercised that much, and suddenly now, like, you're sold in the slave market, and they're like, ooh, not what you once were. So then, it's not going to be as much money. So it's going to be a drug. For damim, I pay shas. The opposite could happen, obviously, also. A guy could start working out, a guy could suddenly be worth more as an eved. So it says, for damim, we go based on shas and sina. We go based on the time that you actually are chayav to pay. That, by the way, is the standard halacha, I believe, in many nedarim. Make a commitment now for a certain value, you pay the market value at the time of the actual damim, the actual payment. However, the Gemara tells us, Erechin's not that way. Erechin, the Gemara says, is enu nosin ela bizman ha'erech. How much were you worth at that time? This matters a lot because erech is determined based on age. So if your age changes, so then obviously it could be it's going to drop. So erech and damim is different as far as how exactly it goes. Erech, the Gemara learns from a pasuk, erech pays bizman erech. But it sounds like maybe the normal halacha would have been that I pay bishas nesina. There is an interesting machlokas harishonim there in Meseches Erechin. The Gemara tells us that according to some rishonim, this is sheet of Rashi. It's hard to understand Rashi, the different mehalchim in Rashi. Tosfos has one understanding of Rashi. The Brisker Rebbe has an understanding of Rashi. Rav Eliashiv and the Sfas MS and Erechin there have other things of Rashi. But the pashtus of Rashi, or at least one way of understanding Rashi, damim is a svara. Damim's obvious. Because like most nedarim, like most things, you pay based on the time that it's actually time for payment. Whatever I said a long time ago, it's hard to figure out what you were actually worth then. It's hard to look in the past and figure it out. Damim, neder, we tend to go based on shas, nesina. It's a svara why that's so. That makes a lot of sense if damim is really similar to neder and not like erechin. The difference is pashut. Erechin has a clear sakasav, because erechin's all a Torah-imposed obligation. So the Torah taught me it goes based on the time of the original commitment. Damim is something which is more like a neder. That goes based on the time you pay, because it makes more sense to me, svara, it should go based on that. However, we'll pause and see if we're following. However, the Sheet of Mikubetzes quotes the Rush, who says, the Sibishkar points out, why is Damim going at Shas Nesina and Erechin going at Shas Erech? Why are there differences between them? I have a pasuk with teaching me Erechin's at Shas, at the Shas that of where you originally commit yourself. So shouldn't Damim be the same as Erechin? If the pasuk told me Erechin's at the original time, shouldn't Damim also be at the original time? Why exactly would there be any chiluk between them? Sesh Mikvetz is the name of the Rosh. It must be we have a pasuk that teaches us that damim's different. Because misvara, there's no reason to be mechalik. It must be a pasuk which teaches me that there's a difference. Says the Brisker Rav, lefi my pshat in the Rambam, that makes a good deal of sense. Because damim and erechin are really very, very similar. They're similar. They're all Torah-imposed obligations. And therefore, I would think that they should all follow the same amount of time, the time of the original commitment. If there's a difference, it must be a gezeiras hakasuv, because misvara, there's no reason at all to be mechalek between them. Far general clarity thus far. General clarity far. 1, 2, and 3. Should general clarity. It's fine if we're not. I need to know where people are. Yeah. Because there must be one. Got to be one. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. He's assuming that they would be more similar. They'd be more similar. The next is an interesting one. A gosase. You have a guy who is about to, Rahman al-Tal, pass away. The halacha is the word of Mitzach Shabbos. A gozes, you can't even really touch a gozes. If you're a medical professional, it's different. You can't even touch a gozes because maybe you're going to end up causing him to die. Shopech dam. A gozes person who's about to die. The Gemara tells us, the Rambam Paskin's like this, a gozes has no erech, and a gozes has no damim. A gozes has no damim. A gozes wouldn't be sold as an eved on the shuk. If I asked you why a gozes has no damim, most of us would just say the pashtas, because he can't be sold in the shuk. So if he can't be sold, so that's why he has no damim. So if I say I'm committing to pay the damim of that person, so then what am I essentially saying I'm committing to pay? Zero, because a gozes isn't worth anything. That's how you should have expected someone to say it. If I commit to pay the damim, the value of a gozes, I'm not going to have to pay anything, because he's not worth anything. No one's going to buy him in the shuk. But it's not what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, Erech and Perek Av Hachi Gimel, says the Rambam as follows, HaGozes ein lo erech velo damim, hoil v'rov ha-gozes in lemisa, ha-rehu kemes. Says the Rambam, why does a gozes not have damim? Not because he wouldn't be sold in the shuk, but rather because, since Rove goes to sin, most goes to sin, die, this guy is like Mugdar. He's Mugdar al pi halacha, kimes. He's like, he has the status of a mace. Says the Brisker Rav, what's pshat? Why doesn't the Rambam just say he doesn't have any value? So says the Brisker Rav as follows. If I understand, he doesn't say like Tosfos, but the way we understand Tosfos, that the simple pshat is that it's like a neder, that all damim is me saying, instead of me saying, I commit to give Mikos $1,000, I say, I commit to give his value, and his value means what he could be sold by in the shuk. So then, what was my neder? My neder was, is he going to be sold or not? Oh, he's not sold, I'm going to pay nothing. But says the Brisker Rav the following for the Rambam. According to the Rambam, damim is a chiddush imposed by the Torah. And it's not, says the Brisker Rav, what is the gedder of that Torah-imposed obligation? It's not just about would he be sold in the shuk, but rather it's a different form of assessing his value. It's a different way of assessing objective value. One way of objective value is erchin. That's based on his age, based on his gender. But damim, says the Brisker Rav, the Rambam is teaching us, is also a Torah obligation. It's just a slightly different way of figuring it out. And what the Rambam is saying is as follows. A gozes, the reason why there's no damim by a gozes, it's not just about, or it's not about whether practically he could be sold in the shuk, but it's about a formal halachic status. A gozes is mufka from the sugya of damim, because a gozes, objectively, is defined as a mace. According to Tovah, it's all a practical question. Can he be sold or not sold? Because neder is all practical. Does he have a value or not have a value? Did I commit to a value or not? For the Rambam, it's about, does the person have, it's also about, for the Rambam, objective worth. And a gozes, because he is, al pi halacha, rov goes in lemisa, areyu kemes, he objectively has no value. Again, a little bit of a tricky idea. Let me just chaz what we've said so far, and hopefully things can be a little bit clear. What we're trying to point out is just as follows. This, I guess, is our third in the Erech and Damim series. Next, we go to other sections of the Masechta Erechin. But what we've tried to really just point out is that when we talk about our own obligations or our own requirements as far as Erechin and Damim, there's two different ways that a person can commit themselves based on someone's value. I can either say their Erech, I'm going to pay my Erech, or I'm going to say I can pay my Damim. Okay. The difference is how we calculate it. Erech is defined based on objective criteria. Damim seems to be fine based on how much you'd be sold if you were an eved in the shuk, machlokes Rishonim, Evet Kanani or Evet Ivri. We're raising the following question. Are Erechen and Damim really very, very different? Erechen to Chiddush HaTorah kind of an idea. Your objective value, gender, age, I pay that. It's all Torah imposed. It's all Gezeiros HaKesuvim. That's why the Torah taught us, as one example, Hesed Yad, build the full value, I pay less. That's why the Torah taught us in Erechen. You know what, let's leave it like that. As opposed to Dumim, which is really just all practical. It's me imposing an obligation like a regular neder. So instead of saying I'm paying $1,000, I say I'm paying how much would be sold for in the shuk. And it's all about practically how much would you be sold for in the shuk. We saw that Briskarov raised an additional possibility that maybe Dumim, just like Erechen, is really a formal Torah idea. It's a different way of assessing worth. I can assess your worth objectively, Alpi Din Torah, based on gender and age. I can assess it, your worth, Alpi Din Torah, certain formal criteria based on Evan Nimkar B'Shuk. But says the Brisker Rav, if it's more of a Gezeiros HaKasav, the way the Gezeiros HaKasav works is going to be, it may have some objective halachas as far as who's Roy for Dumim or not. Because not just about what you meant and what you had in mind, it's about certain objective halachas. So some people are just mufka from Dumim. They don't qualify for Dumim, such as a Gozeis, which Alpi Din is Don like a mace. So he's mufka from this Torah concept called Dumim. For other Rishonim, it's more practical. A Gozeis is not included because Lemaisa, no one would really buy him. As far as just really just general clarity, as a whole, the question as a whole, 1, 2, and 3, just general clarity. Okay. I'm trying if I say one more thing or if we stop. I'm going to say one more thing quickly. If you get it, great. If not, it's all good. I'll say one thing quickly. To what extent we should have to have the following question. Is there Dumim? How obvious is it that there's no Dumim? Let's say you're an Eved who's a Muchashchin. An Eved who's a Muchashchin. You're an Eved with a certain kind of deformed person. Do you have any Dumim or not? Have any Dumim or not? Tosfos points out, based on the Gemara and Meseches Erechen, that even though it's possible a regular Muchashchin, not so clear, maybe, if you are an Eved Muchashchin, you have value. Why do I have value? Why would a Muchashchin who's sold in slavery, should be clear, any Muchashchin who's sold is going to be an Eved Muchashchin. So why would a Muchashchin potentially have Dumim? Why would a Muchashchin have value? I can sell him L'inyan Knas. This is like a terrible thing to do. But if a shur gores in Eved, so then you get a certain amount of money. So I'm basically taking out like an insurance policy, so maybe I'd buy him for a little bit of money just on the offhand chance that he gets gored, you know, suddenly he's like worth something. So Lemaisa says, Tosfos, I don't know, isn't it possible he gets sold to get Tobas? It's based on Alpha Meseches Erechen here. It is source number 14. Isn't it a question in Gidin, Evet Shemachu Rabu L'Knas Mahu Alma Islay Damim, that Muchashchin maybe has Damim because he could be sold for a Knas. So Tova says, no, when we say Muchashchin has no Damim, we mean Muchashchin who's a Trefa, that maybe there is no Knas for him in that case. But really, he has a certain kind of value. The Brisker Rav Tainus says that the Rambam would never agree to that. The Rambam would never agree to that. Why? How do you determine Damim? If Dumim is like Tosfos, it's a regular neder. It's just how much your value is sold on the shuk. That's all I mean. So we just mean practically, how much would you be sold for on the shuk? If people would spend $5 on you, then that's your Dumim. Tobit makes a lot of sense. If Dumim is just my way of saying, I will pay whatever you would lemaisa be sold in the shuk. It's a regular form of neder. Instead of saying the money, I just say practically, how much would you be sold for in the shuk? So someone would buy you for knas at your insurance policy. If I get lucky, I guess, and a shur gores you, I don't know what you're going to do with the guy. Like, stick him, like, you know, like, move to, like, San Antonio. I think it's step number one. Like, somewhere in Texas where they have, you know, things to gore. And then just, like, hope that it gets, you're like, everyone in the South has that. I know. Wherever they have waffles and fried chicken. I'm mixing up so many different parts of America right now. But like,
So many.
They have grits near these things.
We're going to stop there.
I'll stop. Yeah. And then, in Sezibus Garov, the Rambam would never agree to that. Because says the Brisker Rav, if damim is a Torah imposed obligation, and we learned from Goses that it's not just a practical question of would people buy you or not buy you, but it is like a different sort of objective way of looking at your worth. Your worth as an Eved, says the Brisker Rav, we're never going to factor in like side deals to assess your worth. Damim is the Torah's way of saying like how much you're really worth. How much you're worth means how much would someone want for you. Not how much would someone want because maybe they'll get lucky and they'll end up collecting your knas. So Brisker Rav again understands, and here's the opinion a little bit more. When we say that Erchin could either be more of a neder, which is practical. Instead of saying, I want to pay $1,000, I want to pay however much I would be sold on the slave market, limaisa, practically. That's regular neder. Damim means that the Torah is teaching us another way of assessing your actual value. There's your value as far as erech, age and gender, and there's your value as far as you being sold as a slave. But certain people are mufka from that entirely. A goseh is mufka from that. He's not part of this din Torah. And the Torah chiddush is your value, not because maybe a knas, whatever it is. It's like your value as you, says the Brisker Rav, is how he defines that Torah imposed obligation. This was a little bit of, I don't know if this may have been a little bit of a trickier kind of a shiur. Next week will actually be a much sweeter shiur when we speak about Yovel. And if I nailed this as far as the weeks go, we would have spoken about it this week because this is this week's Parsha. But it's fine. And we'll be okay. In America, it's still that Parsha. So speaking about Yovel next week, which again, it would be a little bit sweeter and nicer, hopefully. And then I'll shift us to some halachas also this week's Parsha, which are like Batei Arechoma and Stea Chuzaso and things like that. Which hopefully can be nice, clear, and some psukim and chumash that hopefully can be a whole lot clearer as a result. So guys, have a wonderful rest of your night.